Please turn to the book of Revelation this morning. Revelation chapter 16. Our text this morning is found in verses 17 through 21. I'm preaching through the book of Revelation. I had hoped to be able to finish it. Doesn't look like I'll be able to now, but we'll get close. Today, the seventh vial of God's wrath. Revelation 16, 17 through 21. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. For the plague thereof was exceeding great. It's very important in understanding this book of Revelation to know the telescoping arrangement of the three sets of God's tribulation judgments on this earth. Now, this is a matter of review. I trust that you remember the first set of judgments is the seven seals. The seventh seal contains the seven trumpet judgments. And the seventh trumpet contains the seven vial judgments. Or said another way, the seven trumpets make up the seventh seal, and the seven vials make up the seventh trumpet. The pouring out of this seventh vial will involve the worst and most devastating calamity the world will ever know. There is nothing in past history that closely corresponds to this passage. This seventh vial covers the remainder of the tribulation until the return of Christ to the Mount of Olives. The pouring out of this vial brings us to the end of the tribulation. Everything between this text and Revelation 19:11 is explanatory of what is involved in the seventh seal. This vial contains almost indescribable disaster. A great voice, thunder, lightning, a great earthquake, great hail, and worldwide destruction. All of these are judgments of the holy and just God on wicked, unrepentant men. As we consider this passage of Scripture verse by verse this morning, there are four things that stand out. First of all, verses 17 and 18a tell us that the seventh vial was poured out into the air. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. Now, the previous six vials were poured out on the earth. But this seventh vial was poured out into the air. Let's look at the targets of God's judgments in each of these seven vials in Revelation 16. Look at verse 2, first of all. In Revelation 16:2, that this vial was poured out on the earth. In verse 3, the second vial was poured out upon the sea. In verse 4, the third vial was poured out upon the water. In verse 8, the fourth vial was poured out upon the sun. In verse 10, the fifth vial was poured out on the kingdom of the Antichrist, and there was great darkness in his kingdom. In verse 12, the sixth vial was poured out upon the great river Euphrates. And now in our text, the seventh vial is poured out into the air. What is the significance of this? Well, air, for one thing, is a universal element. So this vial is evidently universal in its action. Wherever there's air, this judgment will be felt. Verse 17 says that as the seventh angel poured out his vial, a great voice came out of the temple in heaven. Look at verse 17 in this chapter. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." Now the word great, I pointed out last time, and I miscalculated. I hope you'll go back and correct that if you wrote it down. The word great occurs seven times just in this text, verses 17 through 21, but 12 times in this 16th chapter. I believe I said it was 10 times, but it's 12 times. This great or loud voice coming from the temple and the throne in heaven was the voice of God, and the sound of His voice came through the physical atmosphere. This great voice made a very important statement when it declared, "It is done." When the Lord Jesus yielded up His life on the cross, He said, "It is finished." Look at John 19:30 here. John 19 and verse 30. John 19:30 says, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, 'It is finished.' And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost." This meant, "It is finished," meant that the great sacrifice for the sins of His people was complete. It was the end of all judgment on those who believe, and it left no divine condemnation on them. "It is done," here in verse 17 of our text, is a similar statement. This is the completion of another judgment, the earthly judgment on those who believe not. With the pouring out of the seventh of these seven vials, the whole contents of God's great and awful wrath on this present wicked world will be exhausted. It is done. All the signs, judgments, and plagues are concluded in this seventh vial. This is the last stroke before Christ descends to the Battle of Armageddon. In Revelation 19:11. Now the verb tense of the Greek word that is translated "it is done" here describes a completed action with ongoing results. We don't have time to go into that, but we believe in the verbal inspiration of the Scriptures. And in the Greek, the language is much more precise, and it doesn't just say "it is done." It says it's completely done and these results are ongoing forever. God's judgment on Christ at Calvary provided salvation for repentant sinners. The judgment of this seventh vial brings judgment on unrepentant sinners. The finishing of this judgment leaves no provision for help or hope. When this vial had been poured out into the air, certain great atmospheric phenomena occurred. This vial is poured out into the air, and the first reactions are in the air. When the voice had declared, "It is done," there were voices, thunders, lightning, and hail, such as men had never seen. And there were voices and thunders and lightning. And these things occurred on a worldwide scale. Now think about a thunderstorm that's worldwide. You know, when we have a thunderstorm, it's just usually local. It could cover two or three states maximum. But this is a worldwide thunderstorm. Voices, thunders, lightnings, worldwide. John MacArthur, in commenting on this passage, said, "The mighty storm of wrath now burst upon the earth." Next, in verses 18b through 20, we find that the pouring out of this vial also affected the earth. Not only was it poured into the air, it also affected the earth. Not only were there atmospheric disturbances when this vial was poured out, there was also a great geological disturbance. Look at the latter part of verse 18 and the first part of verse 19. "And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell." Now occurs a great earthquake. In Matthew 24:7, the Lord Jesus says, "There will continue to be earthquakes all through this present age." Turn to Matthew 24:7. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 7. The Lord Jesus is speaking here. "For nation shall rise against nation." He's describing this present age. "And kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." I have an app on my cell phone called QuakeFeed. And it's a free app. That's the only kind I buy. That's the only kind I get. But this app records all earthquakes in the last 24 hours, wherever on earth they occur, and it gives their magnitude. And if we were to look at it right now, there's probably at least 50 earthquakes that have occurred in the last 24 hours. As I look at this app each day, I find that this earth is continually shaking. There have been some great earthquakes in the past several centuries. There was a great earthquake here in the state of Missouri along the New Madrid Fault that occurred in 1811. Did you know that that earthquake was so tremendous that the Mississippi River actually flowed backward? I don't know how long that happened, but evidently there was an uplift and the river flowed backward. There was the great San Francisco quake in 1906. It's estimated that it hit 7.9 on the Richter scale. There was an earthquake in Iran when I was in high school in 1957. That earthquake registered 7.1, and upwards of 100,000 people died. There was the great quake in Alaska in 1964 that did so much damage to Anchorage. And it registered 9.2 on the scale. I never heard of an earthquake that big. 9.2. But the earthquake in the seventh vial will be the most powerful and devastating earthquake ever to strike the earth. The earth will then be shaken as never before. It will be a worldwide earthquake. And most likely, this will be the last earthquake that the world will ever know. Everyone will feel this earth, this quake. Everyone. The climber on the mountain. The coal miner in the deep shaft. The ocean traveler on his ship. The Muslim in his mosque. The baby in its bed. Everyone will feel this quake. This great quake will be a matter of God's judgment on this wicked, God-hating, Christ-rejecting, unrepentant world. In His final judgment on sinners on this earth, God will send an earthquake, just as He did when He judged the sins of His elect at Calvary. We don't think about that earthquake very much, but that was a time of judgment also, as this is. Turn to Matthew 27, 51 through 54. Christ died on the cross, he took the judgment of God on the sins of His elect. And there was an earthquake. Matthew 27:51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, or torn in two, from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after His resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. When the seventh vial is poured out, the whole earth will be shaken terribly by the wrath of God. In the breaking of the seventh seal and the sounding of the seventh trumpet and the pouring out of the seventh vial, these same things happen. Voices, thunder, and earthquakes. Now this last great worldwide earthquake is prophesied many times in Scripture. I really was impressed in studying this to, I'd never put all this together before, but to realize that so many Old Testament Scriptures as well as New talked about this final great earthquake. Many prophets have spoken of this great shaking of the earth. Turn first in your Bibles. We want to look at several examples of these. Ezekiel 38:19-20. Ezekiel 38:19-20. God is speaking here, and He says, "For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beast of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground." There's never been an earthquake like that. This is a prophecy of this last earthquake. Next, look at Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Haggai 2, 6 and 7 also refers to this earthquake. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Haggai 2, 6 and 7. "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations. And the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts." That hasn't happened yet. Here's another example. Turn to Hebrews 12:26-27. Hebrews 12:26-27 has reference to this passage we just read in Haggai. Hebrews 12:26-27. "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now He hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." The Lord Jesus referred to this final earthquake in His Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24:29. Let's turn to Matthew 24:29. Here the Lord Jesus refers to this earthquake. Notice the time words in this verse. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." What an earthquake! The seas and the air and the rocks and even the heavens shall shake. In verse 19 of our text, we read of the catastrophic effects of this great final earthquake. Look at verse 19 of our text. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of His wrath. First of all, it says the great city was divided into three parts. Now, you know, it's according to what commentary you're reading, but just about every commentary has a different idea of what the great city is. Well, it's not very difficult if you just compare Scripture with Scripture. The great city is Jerusalem because of what Revelation 11:8 says. Let's turn to that. I believe this is proof that the great city here is Jerusalem. This Revelation 11:8 is talking about the deaths of God's two witnesses during the tribulation. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. That's Jerusalem. The great city cannot be Babylon, as some believe, because in this very verse it's distinguished from Babylon in verse 19. Let's read verse 19 again, if you get back to our text. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of His wrath. So obviously Babylon and the great city are two different entities here in this verse. This earthquake will affect the topography of the city of Jerusalem. It's going to be divided into three parts, but it'll only be partly destroyed. It will not be fully destroyed. This is no doubt the same earthquake that Zechariah 14 says will split the Mount of Olives. Let's turn to Zechariah, the next to the last book in the Old Testament, book of Zechariah, chapter 14, and read about this. Zechariah 14, 4 through 10 describes how the topography of Jerusalem will be changed. Well, let's look first at verses 4 and 5 here in chapter 14. And His, that is Christ's, feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. See, that locates this earthquake right about the time of Christ's coming. Now look at verse 8 in that same chapter. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. So great changes. There's rivers of water going to be coming out of Jerusalem and going in two directions. Now verse 10. And the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. And it, that is Jerusalem, shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel unto the king's wine presses. Now these physical changes to Jerusalem, such as it's being lifted up here, prepare it for its central role in the millennium when Christ shall reign there. Isaiah 2:3 says, And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. That hasn't happened yet. It's coming in the future. Verse 19 of our text also says that the cities of this world will fall in this great earthquake. Now you think about the entire globe shaking like this, and think of the beautiful cities of Rio. I think Rio is the most beautiful city in the world. Paris, Sydney, Barcelona, beautiful cities. Think of all these cities being leveled to rubble. Think about St. Louis and Kansas City being reduced to piles of rubble. That's what's going to happen if these cities are still here at that time. The cities of earth will be ruined, but they'll remain nevertheless. Verse 19 also says that at this time, great Babylon will come to God's remembrance. Babylon will be the capital city of the Antichrist Empire. Next week, in one of the messages, we're going to consider what Babylon means. Great Babylon was remembered and now would receive her judgment. The angel told John here, God will now give her the cup of the wine of His wrath. The nature of this cup that will be given her to drink is reported in more detail in chapters 17 and 18 of this book. Babylon will get the worst part of God's wrath in this vial because she is the source and center of earth's wickedness. Another of the catastrophic results of this great worldwide earthquake will be what happens to the islands and mountains of this world. Look at verse 20 of our text. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Now that ought to give us some idea of the greatness of this catastrophe. Great sections of the earth, as it stands today, will be severely altered. Earth's topography will be greatly changed. Great physical changes in this earth. The islands will move from their present places, and the mountains will not be found. Islands, which are undersea mountains, this earthquake will submerge these mountains. They'll disappear, and the mountains on land will be flattened. And this earthquake will level the mountains, submerge the islands in the sea, and destroy the cities of the nation. Verse 21 tells us of another judgment involved in this vial. This vial contained a great hailstorm. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Now, I looked up the present record for the weight of a hailstone. And the heaviest hailstone ever recorded was 2 pounds. That doesn't seem like very much, 2 pounds. But these hailstones in the seventh vial judgment will weigh a talent, the Scripture says. A Hebrew talent is 116 pounds. And every one of these great hailstones weighed a talent. Scripture says, these gigantic chunks of ice will fall as missiles from heaven. Our daughter had a friend who was driving from Dallas to Fort Worth one day in her new car, and a hailstorm hit her. Just wiped out that car. And they were, you know, golf ball size hail. Think about what 116-pound hailstones will do. In the judgment of the first trumpet, in Revelation 8:7, hail mixed with fire and blood fell on the grass and on the trees. But here in the seventh vial, the Scripture says they will fall upon men, these 116-pound stones. This great hail will fall worldwide and bring massive death and destruction. Such monstrous hailstones falling on buildings and houses and ships will crush them. batter down walls, sink ships, and leave very few places for human safety. As verse 21 says, this plague of hail was exceeding great. The lightning, thunder, and hail of this vial speak of a complete convulsion of the atmosphere and the earth. This great hail may not fall until the Battle of Armageddon. You remember last week we located the seventh vial as being just before the Battle of Armageddon. So this hail may fall in the Battle of Armageddon when Christ will somehow destroy the armies that are arrayed against Him there. Finally, in verse 21, we come to the moral response of men concerning the pouring out of this vial. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. The moral response of men to this hail and the other things involved in this seventh vial was that they blasphemed God. There was no report of repentance by men here. Men are unsoftened by all this disaster. The depravity of man is continually exposed in the book of Revelation. They blaspheme God instead of repenting. In spite of all this judgment, the nations of earth gather to Armageddon for the final attack on God and on Christ and on His people. Now, the response of men to these calamities ought to speak this morning to those who think that signs and wonders will convince people to believe the gospel. Oh, if I could just see a miracle, I would believe in God and in Christ, men will sometimes say. I've had people say that to me. The fact is, nothing in all this world will convince unregenerate men to believe the gospel. No sign, no miracle, not even a resurrection from the dead will convince depraved, unregenerate men to believe the gospel. Luke 16:31 says this about the unregenerate brothers of the rich man in hell. The rich man in hell looked up to see Abraham over there in heaven, and he asked Abraham, said, "Send somebody back from the dead to tell my unsaved brothers how to be saved so that they won't have to come to this place too." And here's what Abraham said. "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead." Christ rose from the dead. Men don't believe. Only the mighty, effectual, regenerating power of God the Holy Spirit can bring dead sinners to faith in Jesus Christ. In conclusion, Revelation 15:1 says that in these seven vials, the wrath of God will be filled up or done or finished. After the pouring out of this seventh vial, the Lord Jesus will return to the earth to set up His millennial kingdom. Let's read Revelation 19:11 here. Revelation 19:11. As soon as this seventh vial is finished, maybe it's not even finished, but at the close of it, Christ will return. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness He doth judge and make war." God's wrath will fall in the end, and it is inevitable. But there is a way of escaping God's wrath now. Because Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." Are you in Christ Jesus today? Those who trust in Christ alone for salvation will escape God's eternal wrath in hell. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, "And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." My friends, if you're here without Christ today, God's warning to you as a lost sinner is found in Hebrews 4:7. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. I believe there are some here today who for years have hardened their hearts against the Lord. Young people, already well into their teens, have hardened their hearts. The Lord says here, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Won't you turn from your sin today and turn to Christ for salvation? Let us pray. Now, Father, we're thankful today for the gospel that tells us that sinners can be saved. We're grateful that You've saved us. We pray for those here, though, that have never trusted Christ. Those who are, by resisting, continually hardening their hearts against the wooing work of Your Holy Spirit. We pray for them today. May they turn from their sins and trust in Christ before it's everlastingly too late. And then follow Him in beautiful scriptural baptism. Join the church and serve Christ day by day. We pray all these things in Christ Jesus' holy name and for His sake. Amen. Let us stand together. What number shall we sing, Brother Johnny?